Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Scheman and Shepard.
That boy is good.
Mm-hmm. Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Hello and TGIF, everybody. It is a Friday, and we are thrilled to be here. We are thrilled to have you listening in. You know, we're live and local every weekday, Monday through Friday from 2 to 6. Except Monday, by the way. It's a holiday. But more on that later. We got plenty of radio in front of us here today. Field Yates will join us from ESPN. We'll get his thoughts on the NFL. Of course, two big championship games on Sunday. We cannot wait for that. Gabe Morenci will have his thoughts and handicaps on those games. Plus, we'll have our pigskin picks. All that and more coming up. A big show and a couple of chances for you to win $1,000 with the Scheman and Shepard cash grab. So plenty to do today. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. You can follow us on Twitter at CraigESPN and at PShep326. Also check us out at Facebook. We've got a video up there about the changing of the guard with the quarterbacks involved in our Final Four of the NFL this weekend. So we got a lot to do. With that, we say hello to Pete Shepard. How are you, sir?
Better than the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't
get it. I'm trying to find a quote of who said last week the offense is fine. It was it Jason Garrett? Jason Garrett went on to say, Lenihan got fired today, the OC of the Cowboys. I thought everything was hunky-dory.
That's what we were led to believe.
Cowboy land, but apparently not. And I'm going to stick with my theory. I think that the Cowboys, when this is all said and done, after the playoffs are over or even the Super Bowl, whatever, that Sean Payton is going to have a great chance to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think Jason Garrett is going to be there. Mm-hmm. I don't. I should be stunned by this, but I'm not.
Well, I'm only stunned because I think it was Jerry Jones that was on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas this week saying everything's mm-hmm. hunky-dory. There was an announcement that Scott Linehan would be back as the offensive coordinator next year. We learned 10 minutes ago that he's been fired.
I got the quote. It was Garrett on 105.3.
Okay.
He said The Fan in Dallas on Monday said he expected Linehan to return to 2019. There would not be significant changes to the staff. He also stated they had not had a meeting with the coaches to discuss the future. Linehan was signed through 2019, as is Garrett.
Jerry said not so fast. The Cowboys, despite making the playoffs, averaged only 21 points of offense a game. That was 22nd in the National Football League. When you figure, when everybody saw Amari Cooper, how much more explosive they got, you've got Ezekiel Elliott back there. You've got an offensive line. The question still remains, in my opinion, whether Dak Prescott is the right guy to lead them forward. But obviously people in Dallas are expecting more out of their offense. If they think changing the offensive coordinator is going to help, good luck. God bless them. We'll see what happens.
So, I mean, their OC now, which could change again if you know, Garrett gets fired. Kellen Moore is a quarterback's coach. Mark Colombo.
Former backup for the Cowboys.
Yeah. Mark Colombo, they signed him as the offensive line coach. And Leon Letts, they got new deals. Doug Coleman, the special teams guy, is gone.
I'm always perplexed by the Jason Garrett situation. And, yeah, stay tuned. Maybe something happens with that. I won't go with you all the way on the Sean Payton coaching the Cowboys next year. But, look, he has coached there before as an assistant under Bill Parcells. I know that Jerry Jones likes him. I just don't see a scenario where he's leaving the Saints. I think, you know, especially if Drew Brees has a couple more years left, Sean Payton is not walking away from his relationship with Drew Brees. I think they're too good together. Why would he give that up? Yeah. So I'm not with you on that.
It goes beyond, though, just his relationship with Drew Brees. There have been some rumblings over there over this year and even last year that all I'm saying is
what rumblings?
Rumblings that he was unhappy. Not with Drew Brees, but there has been rumblings.
I mean, I know he was upset about being suspended for a year, but that had nothing to do with the Saints organization. That was the NFL.
Yeah, I'd have to go back. There's some rumblings this year that, minor rumblings, but rumblings nevertheless. That he
wasn't be a tremble, wouldn't it?
That'd be an earthquake. That'd be a 10.0. All right, here, let me make an addendum on the big board. I, Craig Sheeman, on January 18th, 2019, state that both Jim Harbaugh will be on the sidelines for Michigan on week one, and Sean Payton will be on the Saints sideline week one of the 2019 season.
All I'm saying is I'm not going to disagree with you on the latter. but all I'm saying, I think Jerry Jones is going to do a full all-out campaign to go after Sean Payton. That's all I'm saying. I think there's going to be more than rumblings, more than where there's smoke, there's fire type of thing. I think whether it's next week or if they get to the Super Bowl after that, that you're going to start to see the spin.
That would have to be a process.
Well, this is a real question, is how can you apply, we call it a full court press when a team is going after an NBA free
agent.
It'll
be behind the scenes.
Right.
There's got to be a trade, because he's still under contract.
He's under contract through next
season. So Jerry would have to ask the Saints for permission.
He can't make public comments. That's tampering, is
right.
it not?
It is.
I didn't say, but you can already read between the lines. I said it earlier this week when Jerry Jones was on the radio. He was absolutely talking about Sean Payton because they asked him specifically about Jason Garrett's safety, and he would not go out and give the full voting. Well, he talked about reevaluating, things like it's just you could. I urge everyone to go back and listen to what Jerry Jones said. He was without a doubt on Monday, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday, 100% talking about Sean Payton. So I just think that possibility exists in a big way. I'm not saying 100% going to happen, but you're going to start to hear, I think, some big-time rumblings about Payton leaving the Saints and maybe possibly going to Cowboys.
I think Jerry Jones, if you go back in time, I'm pretty comfortable in saying this, is kind of giving a wishy-washy a quote on Jason Garrett's long-term stability every year. I mean, this is just what Jerry does, and then he ends up keeping him.
Yeah, but this year is after a playoff game, and I don't know. And now after Garrett went on the radio and said that Scott Linehan was going to be fine, now he's fired.
That is a little weird. I'll grant you that.
It just doesn't, I don't know, doesn't look good. Doesn't look good for Jason Garrett, does it?
I think Jason Garrett's fine. I think he would have been fired already.
Yeah, what did he do to say move on from Jason Garrett this year? He won a playoff game finally?
I'm not saying he did anything.
And lost to the Rams.
I'm not saying he did anything.
A game where he was competitive.
But knowing how Jerry Jones thinks, it's not so much what Jason Garrett didn't do. It's what Sean Payton can do.
I'm not disputing that Jerry Jones would like to have Sean Payton
as his
head coach.
Remember who you're talking about here. You're talking about...
I'm not disputing that. What I am disputing is why in the hell would Sean Payton leave what he has in New Orleans for Dallas?
Well, because I think a lot of reasons. I think
why?
Because I think he would get some long-term job security, more money. I think it's going to be I think he's going to get a huge offer. I do. Is it getting a huge offer? And we'll see if they can pull it off.
I think it's a little ironic that anytime Bill Belichick going somewhere else comes up, you scoff at it and say it's ridiculous.
When has that ever happened?
I'm just saying that if the
that's never
the,
when okay. is the last time?
Okay,
but when is the last time that's
I'm
happened?
I'm just saying I haven't heard anything about Sean Payton leaving New Orleans.
Yes, you did. I told you last this week about.
Yeah,
about,
I haven't heard anything.
You're the only source.
No, I said if you read between the lines what Jerry Jones was saying, I wasn't the only one saying it. Mike Florio picked up on it.
I think you're reading Braille in between the lines.
I'm sorry. I'm just telling you. I listen to these
I
shows.
I would be stunned, floored, taken aback.
I wouldn't be.
Flabbergasted.
I would fill in the adjective there if Sean Payton were not on the sidelines in New Orleans next season.
I would not be. And he very well may be. I'm just saying they're going to go after him. They're going after him.
Again, wouldn't be surprised if they go after him.
Yeah.
I don't know why you leave New Orleans for Dallas right
because
now.
Because for money and a more prestige with Dallas, he's already won a Super Bowl.
He's already one of the highest paid coaches in the NFL.
One. He may win another one with New Orleans when it's all said and done. Who knows?
So we can see a scenario where the Saints could win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He ain't leaving. You're not leaving that situation to go to the Dallas Cowboys.
Fail. You guys always shock me when you say the coach won't leave, won't do that. He's got a big relationship with Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones loves him. he's going to be make a full court press at him. That's all I'm saying. He may not leave. I'm not saying any etched in stone, but to absolutely deny that Jerry Jones isn't going to go after him, he's going to.
He makes $9 million right now.
Yeah,
Sean Payton.
Yeah,
And that's Sean Gruden money.
Right. Yeah,
he's not leaving that.
Great.
And here's the other thing.
What do you mean he's not leaving it? Suppose he gets offered more. Suppose he gets a 10-year deal. For $150 million.
Okay,
Jerry Jones is that crazy to do it.
Let's back up, all right? I believe when John Gruden left the Raiders to go to Tampa Bay, I believe Tampa Bay, the price was 2 first-round picks. They already don't have a first-round pick this year because of Amari Cooper, mm-hmm. so he's not going to give up multiple picks for the next 2 of the next 3 years. That would kill the Cowboys. I could argue that it killed the Buccaneers because John Gruden came in, won with a good team, and they got progressively worse every year because they had no draft picks. I don't see him doing it.
You're going to bet me a sandwich that you will not hear rumbling that Jerry Jones is going after him big time.
I'll bet you a back wax.
No, I don't need a back wax. I don't need a back wax. Not at all. I told you. Anyway, it's an interesting story. It was interesting comments made earlier this week by Jerry Jones. And I'm just it's a strong possibility in my opinion.
I don't agree getting rid of Linehan. He's had 3 running backs win the rushing title in his 5 years calling plays in Dallas. I don't know. I mean,
I don't disagree with you, which tells me it's even more of a warning sign that the writing could be on the wall that Jason Garrett's days as a Cowboy head coach may be numbered. I don't know how you can't see that. I mean, it's a possibility.
But they've been numbered for 4 years.
Yeah,
Jerry just keeps them around.
Not like this, though, Craig. When I heard him on the radio earlier this week, it was a little different. Even for Jerry, it was a little different.
All right.
That's all.
All right.
I'm not saying.
I'll let you hang out with your volleyball Wilson on your island all by yourself on that one, and we'll
I'm not by myself. Trust me, I'm not by myself. I got Marianne, Ginger, the professor, Gilligan,
okay,
Skipper.
Okay, all right. 239-337 ESPN. If you have a comment on that, you think you agree or disagree with Pete on that. Also, again, forecasted temperatures continue to get more and more balmy for Kansas City for the Chiefs-Patriots game. Right now, I see an AccuWeather forecast. The temperature, the high, 29, and the overnight low, 23. So this game will not even be in the teens.
Well, here's the thing. Tomorrow, they are expecting snow, 80% chance of snow in Kansas City. That's Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw, I have it on my little phone, it's that the temperature, the high on Sunday will be 32 with a low of 22. And you have, of course, the blood moon eclipse, the full eclipse that's going to happen a little bit after halftime. I don't know how that affects anything, but who the hell knows? Andy Reid, you know, water and the body, the body's mostly composed of is water, hence the word, the phrase lunatic, you know. So, who knows?
Did you see him yesterday at practice?
No.
Andy Reid?
No, what was he doing?
What part?
He's out there in, it's the teens, it's snowing, and he's in shorts.
Yeah, was he really?
Like athletic shorts.
That's the whole, when not any players from any team or coaches, it's just that whole, like, I'm tougher than the other.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
Although he's got enough girth.
If I had to go into that.
He's got enough girth, he can't feel it
anyway. I would have every piece of clothing possible. In fact, I remember.
Everybody standing around him does have everything on that they can find.
You've got the Ed Oliver parka on, for crying out loud. I remember when Eric Dickerson played, not necessarily for cold, but for protection, he had everything possible. He had the armbands. He had the double thick chin strap. He said, I'm grabbing every piece of protection I can. I would take that philosophy in cold weather, and I would have everything on. I would have the skull cap. I would have the face mask. I would have heat warmers stuck in my gloves, those little chemical things that you rub and they get warm. I'd have everything possible.
Toe warmers.
Yeah. Oh.
Best.
Absolutely.
Well, that's where that's the most pain, right? When you're freezing cold like that, especially if you have to cover a game, if you're outside, isn't that the worst? You can almost deal with your face a little bit, even your hands, but man, your feet are freezing.
Your feet control everything. You keep your feet warm, the rest of your feet in the top of your head. If you keep those two warm, you got a shot of staying warm. But then on top of that, to go out and catch a rock of a football with your hands, that would hurt. And then going out and making a tackle on a cold day.
I feel terrible for those offensive linemen because they never wear long sleeves because it's the whole macho guy.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're a defensive player, I mean, just a good arm slap.
Yeah.
Oh. That would hurt.
How about,
man, that's a good sting.
How about a little head sting? Even if you don't get called for it, even if you do a little head swat to the ear. Think about how much that hurts in regular.
That's a 15-yard penalty.
Then you got kickers.
I know on the rare occasion when it would be cold down here playing Little League, and you'd catch that one like off the handle.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh. I mean, that stings when it's warm outside.
I did not like playing baseball in April in the Midwest.
Yeah, oh, that's different than his 50-degree weather down here.
It's still cold. Cold's cold. And you know what? It's a wet cold down here.
Hey, by the way, so I think tomorrow is going to be spectacular weather-wise.
80. Yes, like it is.
But I think by Monday, it's going to feel like Kansas City around
here. Yeah. 60 degrees with gusts. 60. Gusts? Did I hear 40-mile-an-hour gusts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sustained around 15.
It's the only day I'm playing golf this whole
holiday. Yeah, I got to.
You both have tee times Monday?
30 tee time on Sunday.
I got a 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Way to celebrate Martin Luther King Day, both of you, going out and playing golf.
Well, it's Sunday.
Okay.
Oh, well, you're Sunday. He's Monday.
Yeah, right. Monday, no.
I'm not playing. I'm playing Monday.
Monday, I've got celebratory things to do.
What day?
That's right.
Monday. MLK Day.
Oh, okay. How are you going to celebrate MLK Day, Chris?
What are you going
to
do?
Going to go down to my dad's house for lunch.
Yeah. It's good.
Go home.
Yeah.
And
that's a hell of a day.
It's like Thanksgiving. Like, I'll say thanks.
Yeah. Okay. For what?
To the doc.
Okay. Okay. You can watch some NBA. NBA all day long.
Oh, quintuple header.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it. And actually, that's one of the games on Monday. I think it's the Lakers and Warriors. You can tweet at
the refs,
the NBA refs, and they'll like tweet back at you.
When are they going to have time to tweet back?
Not the ones on the court.
Oh,
it's different NBA okay. refs. Like, okay. I think like somebody at the union, I'm sure, will
I gotcha.
Tweet you back.
Somebody at the union should mention that the largely African-American league should have MLK Day off.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, us three Caucasian dudes, we get it off.
We get the day off,
the NBA,
right.
They got to work.
Go figure, huh?
What's wrong with that? Oh, I noticed that I think both the Rams and the Patriots both have nobody on their injury report. I mean, these teams are coming in healthy, man.
All four are pretty healthy, yeah. And
you got Rankins for New Orleans that tore his ACL last week. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, Eric Berry is coming back for the Chiefs. I don't know how effective he is still.
I believe Benjamin Watson is questionable, yeah, the tight end for the Saints, 15-year veteran.
The one person, the left guard in the Saints, Andrews Pete, had a pathetic game last week. He's playing with a busted hand that he broke later in the season. He's not on the injury report per se, but he's banged up. He is hurt.
Can't hold.
Had a hard time stopping Fletcher Cox last week, and he's going to have a harder time stopping Sam Darnold this week. I think that's a big matchup to watch, especially early on in that football game.
Speaking of Sean Payton earlier, he's given a message to the crowd. You know, there's obviously a home field advantage. It's very loud in the dome, but he's coaching up the fans on when to be loud. He said, don't dilly-dally when they're coming to the line of scrimmage because the Rams like to run a quick offense. Get that crowd noise going right away so that, you know, Jared Goff can't hear the boy wonder Sean McVay in his ear.
And I heard it on three networks this morning. I don't know if you guys know this. This could be breaking news.
Breaking news!
Regarding
sarcasm here.
Brady, Breeze, Goff,
Mahomes.
And Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
If you get pressure up the middle, you might disrupt a quarterback. Did you guys know that?
I've never heard that.
I hear it every year at this time.
If you get pressure up the middle, you can disrupt the quarterback.
Wow. Awesome.
Man, I did not know that. How does that happen?
All right. I'm gonna digest that for a moment.
Yeah, digest
hey,
that.
Hey, when we come back, Urban Meyer's working again. I'll tell you where.
Sure he is.
That's coming up next. We'll have that.
And
did Dan
again.
Enos not tell Nick Saban he was leaving? There's a story with that,
Oh, and
too.
It's a great transcript.
It is fantastic. You don't want to miss that. That's coming up.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PSHAP326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Baby, I like you so.
Grips on your ways, front way, back way. You know that I don't play.
Sheeman and Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN on a Friday. Conference Championship Sunday. Rams Saints 305. Patriots Chiefs 640. We will have the play-by-play here on 99.3 ESPN in case you're sitting on your couch watching it, and all of a sudden your wife has a little honeydew, and all of a sudden you're like, babe, it's conference championship. She's like, all right, if you want anything for dinner, go to the grocery store. You got to do errands, something. Something's broken at the house. You can listen to the games on the radio here at 99.3 ESPN.
Or, if you're going to be at the circus with me, catch the second half driving back home.
I so forgot you're going to the circus with your kid.
Such a sucker.
Now, how long have you had the circus tickets?
A month.
At what point?
Last week.
Okay.
Does that answer your question? Yeah. At what point did I realize this is conference championship
Sunday? Some unforeseen circumstance happened. Just honestly, say that the circus got delayed, couldn't get in, and it got canceled. What would you have to do? An alternative thing, like, you know, go to a movie or something? Or
No.
We would take the kids and go back to one of the family's houses and watch the game. And
is there any chance you can substitute yourself with an aunt or an uncle or something?
I don't think so.
Stay home and watch the game.
I don't think so.
So, okay, so you weren't going to try and do any radio silence, tape the game and join in progress. You're gonna try and be live and wired.
There's a TV in the suite. I'll catch it, and you know, Sunday night I'll catch all the highlights, and then Monday I'm sure I'll flip stuff on as well. So by the time we get back here Tuesday, if I missed a play or two, or a series or something, I'll be caught up on it.
All right. The games aside, I said into the break that Urban Meyer has a new job. His retirement's been 2 weeks, and he's crawling back to the media, which really chaps my hide. Because, you know, in between jobs last time, he went to ESPN, worked for the media, then complained about the media at Ohio State, and complained about the media this summer during his quote-unquote episode where he ended up being suspended for 3 games. And where do they go immediately when they need work or need something to do? They come crawling back to the media again. He's going to go work for Fox Sports, and he is deciding between whether being an analyst in the booth at the games or in the studio.
He sucked at ESPN as an analyst. He tells you nothing. He still is going to want to coach again, so he's not going to tell you anything except basics, which you already know. He is. It won't be edgy. It won't be thinking outside the box. It'll be boring Urban Meyer analysis that gives you nothing. And by the way, how is he doing all this? I thought he was still employed by Ohio State.
Yeah.
Isn't he a special assistant to the golf tournaments or whatever he's doing?
Yes.
No, he teaches a class. Was it sports ethics?
Well, obviously. Yeah.
No, so I'm not joking.
Yeah, that's a good one there, Herb.
So that's why. And he'll probably fly into Fox on a Friday night, is it going to work Saturday and Sunday, or just Saturday?
Yeah.
Just Saturday. Maybe gets a little, because they do have Friday night.
Is he
going to
work
sometimes
alongside our buddy Dave Onstad? I mean,
maybe.
And Matt Leinart?
Well, he'd be better in there than in a booth. To be honest with you, he's better in that setting where it's all...
I think so, but maybe he wants to try something different this time.
It's all choreographed. It's all, you know what you're talking about.
Control three.
Dave gives you stuff now, you know...
No, but that's a good point.
What's Urban Meyer going
to
give you?
It's hard to be a control freak when you're in the booth. I mean, things happen. I mean, you got to be on your toes. You got to be flexible. Go in the studio. It's all pre-planned and everything's...
That's what I think. He might be better off calling a game.
You think?
Well, because...
That's where the unpredictability comes. He doesn't like unpredictability.
Yeah, at least if he's in the studio, instead of saying something bad, he can highlight why, I don't know, Penn State's offense is so explosive this year, where he's not saying anything bad about anybody. I think that's where he'd be best served, as opposed to calling a game where he has to be critical of a guy that he coached last year or critical of somebody.
That's where I think he could fake it the best. Just say, well, it'd be all vanilla, or just doesn't say anything. Oh. Say a lot. Well, you know, I mean, he's not going to, I can't see like all these. Sir, well, look at the guards pulled here, and look at this. They've gone from an 11 to 12 formation here so many times on offense with double tight end, blah, blah, blah. I don't see him doing anything. I just see him, if he's doing the booth, I see him. Yeah, well, all basic stuff that anybody.
Like Jason Witten gives you.
Yeah.
Or Bruce Arians.
Yep.
Now they're in shotgun right here. Thanks, BA. Way to come through.
That's good. All right, there's another.
Can he take Corso's spot?
Don't mess with the coach.
Is he gonna put the mascot head on though? I don't see Urban Meyer clowning.
You know,
I don't see him clowning around like that.
No,
he's too buttoned down to put on the mascot head.
Yeah, you're right. That's much more of a. Who will do the mascot head? Dez won't do it.
No. Des might.
Des might do
Des
it.
Des has a good sense of humor.
Will they go?
Unless they replace it. Is this Lee's last
year? Who's the guy that does the stats?
Pollock.
Over...
Was this his last year?
Do they do Pollock?
How about Bear?
Bear. Chris Filecchio.
I can see Bear doing it. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Now, another story out of Alabama. It involves Dan Enos, who, of course, is left the staff to join the Miami Hurricanes. Apparently, according to at least one report, actually, I think there's more than one report, he did not tell Nick Saban he was leaving to go to Miami, even to the point where there was a staff meeting among the remaining coaches, and Nick Saban surveyed the room and said, "Where the bleep is Dan?" His office had been cleaned out, and Nick Saban was the last to know. Dan Enos reached out
sticky,
and said,
sticky note on his door. Bye, coach. Thank you.
Dan Enos claims that he did not ghost disappear and that he would not leave an employer hanging like that.
That's awesome.
Is it possible he did leave a note or a sticky note somewhere and then maybe it fell off the door and you Nick didn't get the memo?
Would anything surprise you in college football or basketball?
Nothing, but stuff? He clearly did not give the traditional 2 weeks, hey, I'm out of here. He snuck in at nighttime when nobody was there and emptied out his office, and Nick Saban didn't even know he was gone.
But why is it taking so long? It's 10 days old,
where
right?
The bleep is...
Where the bleep is Dan? But, dang. But where... but this. Why is the story just coming out now?
Is it possible Dan Enos...
How awkward of a conversation is that to go tap Nick Saban on the shoulder and...
Okay.
Nick.
I got... No.
He left.
No.
He's in Miami.
Craig's going to appreciate this. Chris will. This is another Seinfeld episode, I believe season 3, The Revenge. George throws a hissy fit in the beginning of the show and quits this real estate company, Chris, right?
Yeah.
And then has this long talk with Jerry about what he can do to get a job because he didn't think it through, so he's unemployed. So he starts, I could be a talk show host, I could be a baseball, all of that stuff. And then Jerry said, why don't you just go back? Next, on that Monday, because he quit on a Friday. He's like, well, no one listens to you. You're emotional. So he shows up, and he's at the end of the table. And as he's taking roll call, making fun of some female employee about sleeping around, he's like, is that Costanza down there?
Yeah.
Is that Enos down there? Didn't you quit? I mean, this is absolutely hysterical. I just don't know why it took this long to get out.
Well, yeah.
Where the bleep is Dan?
Where's Dan? Dan!
What, next? Yeah. You know what's coming next? You know what's next? No.
Dan,
wait a minute.
There?
No. Next team meeting? Where the bleep is Jalen?
Tua?
Tua, are you still here? Is it possible that Enos told somebody else, like Nick's secretary, and said, hey, give this to Nick, I'm out of here?
I wouldn't want to tell Nick I'm leaving.
No, I wouldn't want to go there. That's a
text message. That's what that is.
It's a sticky note. It's on his computer. Probably didn't see it.
Where the bleep is Jalen? I love that.
Now, somebody as meticulous as Nick... It just seems odd to me. That seems odd to me. Didn't know, and it seems odd to me the story's just coming out now, which is what, 10 days after you took the job?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was last week. Well, no, last Monday was the national championship.
Last Monday already? God, that seems like a month ago.
Yeah, the 7th.
Dan was picking up Tate Martell at the airport. Coming in from Ohio State. You think Day knows that Martell's gone?
Or Dan and Jalen's conversation at Prime 112 in Miami.
Tate, where are you?
That mean SOB doesn't know where we are right now.
Exactly. Oh. Yeah, that's what was out last week.
Craig, I am buying into your theory 100%. This dude is just an a-hole to work for, Saban.
I think so.
Love the guy. I'm in my Bama hoodie today. It's 3 years, and it's like Lane Kiffin. I'm done. I'll go to FAU.
Yeah.
I can't keep doing this.
I can't get screamed at every day. Nobody likes that. Oh, man.
Dad!
Hey, I also found something else that is wrong with the NCAA. Add this to the list. And I meant to get to this yesterday, but apparently Phil Fulmer, the former Tennessee Vols coach, who's now the AD, apparently committed a violation Because, again, as the AD, he was walking around practice and made a suggestion to an offensive lineman. It took all of about 3 seconds, and apparently that's a violation because he's not a coach and he can't coach up a player.
Excuse me, get it right. If you're going to tell the people what happened, get it right. It was one of 8 Level 3 athletic violations that Tennessee reported over the past 6 months of last year. They were obtained through a public records request and first reported by the Knoxville News Sentinel.
Wow.
He's a 10-day
suspension. That's messed up.
It was a 9-11 practice. He gave instructions, as you said, to 2 offensive linemen. Violates an NCAA bylaw limiting that type of instruction to official members of the coach. It's so stupid. School officials said he was acting on instinct. And as communication with the 2 players lasted less than 30 seconds, he could have basically said, get your butt down.
Yeah, stay on your hips.
So I mean, is it a violation if a kid goes to class and a teacher or a professor says, hey, I think that you should, you know,
use both hands catching the ball.
Something stupid like that. Is that a level 3 NCAA violation?
If I'm running my mouth on the sideline in practice, hey, man, hustle.
I can't imagine Fulmer's the only AD that's made a suggestion to a football or basketball player in his career.
Absolutely not.
It's so aggravating that the NCAA has us hooked by the you-know-what because – the whole organization is stupid. It's just it's illogical. All this stuff, and yet we continue to follow all these teams in this organization like trolls.
I love college basketball. It's probably my favorite sport to watch. I don't care really who's playing. I can put on a good college basketball game, and I'm dialed in.
Yeah.
There's part of me that hopes that this NBA G League thing works out for a lot of these players, where the $1 million incentive or whatever to go, because it'll force the NCAA to finally change this outdated way of thinking.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, the way they impose sanctions, penalties, whatever, some of them really have a cut. The other ones, the minor infractions are out of control.
Ridiculous.
They're not realistic at all. It's pathetic.
Speaking of college basketball, you two ought to be betting a sandwich here this weekend. Yeah, you've got, I believe the U is hosting North Carolina this weekend.
Tomorrow at noon on ESPN2.
And then right after that, Indiana-Purdue, baby, our big rival game. So I'm looking forward to some hoops.
So I did a little college basketball preview. It's up on 993ESPN.com right now.
Awesome.
And in looking at the IU-Purdue game,
yes,
Purdue holds the lead in the all-time series matchup.
Yes.
I was shocked.
Why you hurting me on that?
I was shocked.
Gene Katie always got the best of Bobby Knight.
No, not always.
I think it's just the national championships, the perfect sit. You know, IU basketball up until, 10 years ago, 15 years ago,
it was
year in, year out. They're a national title contender.
Yeah.
It shocked the hell out of me, to be honest with you.
It's our arch rival. Goes back many, 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 many decades. But, frequently we would we'll split a season series or whatever. I mean, it's a tough game. I mean, this one's in West Lafayette.
Yep.
And by the way, they're getting that winter storm, too, that was supposed to be in Kansas City. So they're taking precautions to make sure everybody gets in and out of Mackey Arena safely.
And IU's dropped 3 games in a row.
2 bad ones.
Reeling.
They lost by 11 to Michigan, which is understandable. Michigan's one of the best teams in the country. Then they lost to Maryland. That was the game that Tim Brando did after he was on our show. And then they lost to Nebraska, which is just inexcusable.
You can't do that.
Cannot lose that game.
Unless Scott Frost is turning the whole athletic department around.
Yeah, right. We clearly are in a slump here.
Cornhusker
right now.
Basketball shouldn't be beating Hoosier basketball
ever.
Well, the
Hurricanes are a little bit of a – they snapped a 3-game losing streak, but – they're down to 7 players, basically.
Are they?
Yeah.
Carolina's not playing great right now either, though.
I'll be stunned if Miami beats them this time. Lycus is, playing okay.
I haven't watched a lot of Miami Hurricanes basketball.
They're 500, 8-7.
Does Miami have a big guy in the center that can exploit?
Because
Tar Heels
guys.
Are soft as baby poo on the inside. I mean, if you've got a big-time 6'10"+ player that can go to work on a block, you'll beat Carolina right now. Mm-hmm. No doubt in my mind.
So I can't coax the 2 of you into making some sort of wager for entertainment purposes on the show?
9-7.
Neither of you want any piece of this action?
Nope.
Both of you are cowardly because
of
your teams
Carolina
are slumping
right
a little bit in January?
Smart. You don't rub.
All right. Very good.
317 says, thanks for rubbing it in, Chris, talking about the IU-Purdue all-time series matchup.
I know. I'm with you there, 317.
Walking around Miramar today. By the way, you guys like my new hat?
Let's see, what is the front? Oh,
just a black Nike.
Tiger Nike hat.
Yeah. And
when do you have time to walk around Miramar? You've been here all morning.
I got lost there in Christmas walking
around. I walked there. I was there for about 20 minutes, go to the Nike outlet, buy some stuff.
Yeah.
Move on with your day. And saw a guy walking by with a big IU basketball t-shirt on.
Oh, yeah?
White frame sunglasses with red bottoms. I mean, this guy's a Hoosier.
You didn't recognize Craig?
I wasn't with him.
Yeah, and a lot of Germans there.
In Indiana?
No, in Miramar.
Oh, I was going to say, Indiana, a lot of Germans migrated to Indiana when
they came
like over.
Like three different conversations. I think it was German.
Yeah?
It sounded Germanic.
Yeah, Germanic? That sounds good. So was this this Indiana guy, I mean, fresh off the, I mean, just down here for vacation, all sunburned and all that?
Didn't have the sunburn yet.
Oh, no.
I couldn't tell you where the arm began and the white t-shirt ended.
Okay. Well, one of my people.
You can tell.
All right.
Scoop socks.
Hey, coming up.
We got to get a poll question going, too.
You got one in mind?
I mean, well, the obvious one. Who do you think is going to win this weekend? I mean.
All right, let's just do it. Rams Saints or Patriots Rams-Saints. Chiefs?
Well, we did that on Monday.
Did we?
Yeah, we did what?
Who won?
Super Bowl matchup do you want to see?
No, that's what you want.
We're making predictions now. It's much different, Chris.
Who do you think's going to win?
All right, we'll spitball something creative on that. Yeah, we got Sound Street next. And by the way, Pete Shepard, a surprise for you during Sound Street. So
yeah, you're going to like it.
Hang tight. All that coming up.
I sense your little feeble minds trying to torture me with some stupid...
No.
No, you're going to like this.
This is pure joy. Okay. You'll like this.
I don't believe you,
but... Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sound Street brought to you by Optimal Male Performance Center in Naples, helping men stay in the game and live healthy, happy lives. Check them out online at optimalmale.net. Started off with the AFC Championship game, Patriots and the Chiefs. Robert Kraft, the owner of the Evil Empire, says Tom Brady is the greatest player of all time on ESPN.
I think of him, that skinny young man coming down the steps of the old stadium with the pizza box and introducing himself to me and telling me he's the greatest decision this organization has ever made. And, of course, he was fourth on the depth chart. But I think he sure was right. Definitely the greatest player of all time, not just quarterback, in my opinion, because he's such a leader.
There you go. Such a leader. Sixth-round pick. Five Super Bowl rings later.
They were getting into this on Golic and Wingo today.
Yeah.
I think it's tough to compare different positions, let alone different positions in different eras in football.
Yeah.
But you can't argue with anything that Robert Kraft just said.
No.
No, and it's not the first time you said it. And I always thought, you know, when I first heard the Brady quote when he first came that year about it, he said, you know, this is the best decision you're ever going to make. And we found out about it about a year after he said it, but turns out he's right.
It's a lot of confidence. I mean, I think I'm awesome. I close the show every night telling everybody how awesome I am.
You do.
Good decision by Beasley Media to hire me.
Great decision.
All right. Bill Belichick asked if he was excited about the AFC Championship game.
Do you get nervous as the game approaches at any point?
Yeah, every week. Yeah, every week.
Heightened for a postseason game or one?
They all count in this league. Just let me know the next game that doesn't matter so I can take that into account. So just let me know the ones that don't matter. Then I'll make sure I don't get excited for those.
That'd be the preseason.
Yeah.
Those don't matter.
He's done. Tom Curran asked him the questions too. Great guy.
Great guy or sarcastic great guy?
No.
Great guy. I gotta be clear.
Overall, great guy. Yes.
All right. Marcus Peters, as we switch to the NFC Championship game, does not think that the Rams season is over yet.
How would you evaluate your season?
I think we ain't done yet.
But you personally?
I think we ain't done yet.
Marcus.
What he better do is he better learn how to guard. Michael Thomas burned him the last game. 9 catches, 146 yards, 6 first downs. Remember, Aqib Talib didn't play in that game. I think Aqib Talib is going to be on Thomas. Marcus Peters will be on wherever they decide to do. But he has not had a good couple of weeks.
Did you see Marcus Peters doing that sound? That soundbite?
Yeah, it was
like the one with the hoodie on.
Yes, yeah, and he stands up to the microphone.
Yeah.
I think we ain't done yet.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah, really? Just asking you a question, dude.
Back up, son.
Yeah, give me your space. All right, Pete Shepard. You know, baseball season, pitchers and catchers report in a few weeks, believe it or not.
Yeah.
All this talk in the media and in baseball about launch angles and all that kind of stuff. It's
new wave. Just hit the damn ball.
Well... Chris has done some research here, and he has found the first ever recorded conversation about launch angle.
Assistant.
Hold on.
Guys, kidding. It's not about muscle. It's simple physics. Calculate the velocity V in relation to the trajectory T, in which G, gravity, of course, remains a constant.
Ball goes over deep center
field.
It's
not complicated.
It's not complicated.
Now, who are you again?
George Costanza, assistant to the traveling secretary.
Are you the guy who put us in that Ramada in Milwaukee?
You want to talk about hotels? You want to win some ball games?
Hey, we won the World Series.
In 6 games.
Is that the Danny Tartable thing?
No, that was another one. That was Jeter and Bernie Williams.
Oh, that's right, Jeter and Bernie Williams. That's right. Yeah,
Tartable
yeah.
Was that Tartable
Bernie
was...
Williams?
Yeah.
I didn't recognize him.
Yeah. There's another episode with Danny Tartable that tried to get him on a telethon or something.
That's when he cuts the donut with the knife and fork. That's the when Danny Tartable was in. Yes.
This one was the episode about abstinence, and George abstained from you know what, and he got smarter even to the point where he can know how to teach Jeter and Williams how to hit, and did that. Yes, yeah. Season 8.
Excellent.
I saw that. Rolling around on Twitter last night and thought, yeah, you know what, we'll throw that
good
in there.
Good job, Classic. Chris. Good job.
Feel free to throw more of those in. We'd love
those.
All right, that's a look at Sound Street. We're good to go.
And I didn't know he was assistant to the travel agent.
Traveling secretary.
Yeah. I thought he was the traveling secretary.
He kind of was for all intents and purposes, but...
He really didn't do much.
You got to get the one when he gets the Houston Astros scouts before they had interleague play. And he gets them in to talk about a home-and-home series with the Yankees. That is one of the funniest. Classics ever.
Yeah, frankly, there's a lot of good sports drops in most episodes. It's good.
Even a Calzone episode with Steinbrenner.
Yeah.
Well, they referenced going to Milwaukee right there.
Yeah.
Was Milwaukee in the AL at the time?
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought I caught him on a little slip up there.
No. In fact, in my brain, I still have to remind myself Milwaukee National League because I grew up with
League East used to be Red Sox, Detroit, Cleveland, Milwaukee, Baltimore, the Yankees, Toronto.
Yeah.
It's a great division.
It's tough sledding back then.
Great division.
Back in the day.
When they had two divisions?
You went two divisions.
Per league,
if you won 90 to 93 games, you weren't making it.
No wild cards. Wild cards was for sissies back then.
Thing about that, the Yankees wouldn't be in the playoffs last year.
Correct. Because Boston would have kept them out.
Absurd.
Absolutely.
Just absurd.
All right, coming up, more football talk. Oh, and we'll have Field Yates at the bottom of the hour. And proof that NBA fans are tired of Kevin Durant. I'll have that coming up in just a little bit. Plus your chance to win $1,000 in the Sheeman and Shepard cash grab. Stay with us. It's Sheeman and Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.